Welcome to The James Rice Show, a humorous, entertaining, and sometimes thought-provoking look at teaching and studying abroad. Join the conversation as James guides you through his experiences and provides insights into how to improve your English and how to improve your teaching of English. And now, here's the man you've been waiting for, James Rice.
Coming up on this week's episode, how old is YouTube? And there are 40 idioms that you can't translate? What? In our teacher talk segment, using film and video in your ESL classroom. And did you know, where did giving the cold shoulder come from? All coming up on The James Rice Show. Hello, my class, and welcome to this week's episode. And I'm here in Toronto, Canada, with my lovely producer, Stephanie. Thank you guys for joining us this week. And we continue to broadcast in over 60 countries worldwide. Thank you for your support. Don't forget to check out our webpage, www.thejamesriceshow.com, for past episodes. And we have a really exciting week as we're going to be talking about videos and film this week, one of my favorite topics. And so, how old is YouTube? How old is it? Do you guys know? You know, I was kind of blown away when I found out that YouTube is now 13 years old. 13 years old. That's incredible. I mean, it's catching up to me. but the first ever clip that was on YouTube, and you can now see it on the website. All right, and I'll try to maybe post it on Facebook too. But on the website, we've added it to episode 41. It's called Me at the Zoo. And that was the first ever YouTube video uploaded and was published on April 23rd, 2005. And it has over 55 million views and over 900,000 comments too. That's a lot of comments. And it was created by one of the YouTube co-founders, Jared Karim. So you can check that out on the website. And it's 13 years old. YouTube is 13 years old. And it has really become a part of our life. YouTube has. And that's the power that we have now with video. And a couple of expressions that I love that have been floated around. One is video is the new textbook. And we learn more and more from watching videos, of course. And one that I like and I often use is video is the new pen. Video is the new pen. So, and you can just check out Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, stories, all of those things that are happening out there. We're doing more and more with video and images to tell our story. Then, you know, 50 years ago, we would write a story, and now we're showing our story. And for teachers out there, students are generally comfortable making videos, maybe not starring in videos, but they are comfortable making videos to tell their story. And they do enjoy it because it is part of their lifestyle now when they're searching social media. The Facebook and Instagram and all of those things that are adding television and film and video creation tools to their sites. So, you know, keep that in the back of your mind. I've always loved that expression. Video is the new pen. So here we are, 2018. And are we using video any better in the classroom now than we were in 2005? I'm not so sure we're using it well. And I think we as teachers can do better. So on Teacher Talk this week, we will discuss that, using video and film in the classroom. And of course, teachers, I am a big, big fan of flipping the classroom. And video is very, very important for flipping the classroom. But I will not discuss that in this teacher talk. I have a few podcast episodes in the past where I talked about how to flip your classroom and using video for that. So check out those past podcast episodes for flipping. Now, for students out there, there are some great sites for you to practice your English using video. So if you love video and you want to watch videos, English videos, and of course, I know a lot of you watch movies. That's fine. That's great. Good job. But there are some other tools that you can use. I want to direct you to three websites to check out for videos that are not YouTube. Of course, you can just go on YouTube and find stuff, but these are a little bit different. One is called TV411, and this website offers a lot of videos about reading, writing, and vocabulary. So you could just pick a topic that you're interested in and watch it. And it's really dedicated to educational videos for adults. So it teaches skills and knowledge that, you know, you need in your life. And it's kind of like the Khan Academy. How do I say that, Stephanie? I'm making a mistake here. The Khan Academy. And if you guys are familiar with that, it's a great website for learning as a learning tool. But TV411 is more about educational videos. So it's really cool. Great little site for you guys to see English in use in a real kind of way. Another website that's just a giant right now. It's really taking off. It's called FluentU, FLUENT, and then the letter U, FluentU. You got to pay for this site because it is such a monster site. But they have music videos, movie clips, news, you know, everything going on. A lot of entertaining videos, but they are directed for English learners. So they have ideas and language lessons built right in to FluentU. And that's why the site has, you know, taken off worldwide and become a little bit of a monster. I remember when it was kind of free for a while. Not totally free, but certainly not as expensive as it is now. But, you know, guys, sometimes paying for this will motivate you, number one, but also ensure quality. I know there are free videos out there on YouTube, and you say, well, James, I can just study for free. I understand. You can find stuff on YouTube, but, you know, sometimes you need to pay for a bit of quality that people use to put together some of these websites. So that's a good one, FluentU. Another one, which is really fun and I highly, highly recommend it, is Funny or Die. Funny or Die. And they have a lot of funny, humorous videos, a lot of parodies, making fun of real events or current news stories, or they're just funny. And I love humor. As you guys know, although, you know, I'm not so funny on this podcast, but in real life, I'm very funny. But it's a great website to kind of understand the cultural meanings behind English. And I've always been a big believer that humor, understanding humor in another country is the key to understanding that country. When I traveled first to Japan and I watched their television shows and some of their commercials on TV, it was really silly, really silly. And I was like, what? You know, I mean, Japan is a very serious country and everybody's working really hard, but their humor on television and in commercials was really kind of silly, just silly. Like childish. But, you know, I learned part of their culture, you know, they're working so hard that they don't want to think, you know, necessarily. They don't want to think about the humor. And in North America, we have a lot of, you know, hidden meanings and subtext and double entendres, which means like a second meaning to what we're saying. There's a lot of thought going into humor sometimes. But in Japan, it's just kind of silly. And so when you understand that humor, you can begin to kind of get into that culture and understand the culture and understand the people a bit easier. So Funny or Die is a great way to learn a bit more about North American culture. And actually, you can find one of my videos on there. Yes, it is a TV commercial called Teacher 1999 versus Teacher 2020. Yeah, and we posted Teacher 1999 versus Teacher 2020 commercial on our website, you know, www.thejamesriceshow.com. And it's on this week's episode, right? It's on 41, right? Okay. So Stephanie's saying, yes, it's on episode 41. So you can see our first commercial was called The Blouse. And it had over 500,000 views on YouTube when we posted it. And that's a lot. I mean, that was a lot for us. And we were actually featured around a bit because we were, you know, that was a while back, and we were featured on a few different websites. So if you search Teacher 99 versus Teacher 2020, you can see us out there. And, you know, if you watch it, you know, the video, I was wearing my clothes from 1999. Very tight, very tight. But they still fit. I mean, not now, but they fit when we made the video. And Teacher 2020, Jamie Matichuk, who was the author and co-author of many of the study it books, he was wearing sort of more modern, loose-fitting kind of clothes. And, you know, under those TV lights, it was so hot. I mean, I was dying in this tight 1999 suit, but so you'll see that. But they are very funny little videos, and we had a great time making them. And it was kind of a homage, you know, to Mac versus PC. So if some of you remember, there was this Mac versus PC battle going on in the 90s, and so we kind of did an homage to that. That's our word for today, an homage. So you know, it was a great segment. And we, you know, Stephanie, we have to do a segment on this, on Teacher 1999 versus Teacher 2020. Those we gotta look at them, and we gotta look at them now that we're getting closer to 2020, right? We may have to do a reboot on those. I mean, they're rebooting everything else, right? Okay, anyways, all right, we gotta keep moving on here on our show. So video lessons are a great way for you guys to keep working on your English. And of course, listen to this podcast, right? You got to listen to The James Rice Show on the way to work or in the car or on the subway. Keep English in the front of your mind, students, all right? That is very important, to think in English. So you can always listen to the podcast wherever you go. All right. The top listeners for this week, not much change there. USA, number one. Brazil, number two. Vietnam 3, Japan 4, and Canada 5. Yeah, so pretty much the same this week as it was in the previous week. And on this week, you know, you got to check out episode 41 on our website, okay? All through our website, we have great links to activities for teachers there. But in this episode, we have a lot of our activities that we're talking about, a lot of videos, and something special, the reality TV show that I created with my class a couple of years ago. Yeah, check that out. All right, coming up next, the idiom of the week.
The Study It textbooks are the first ever completely digital and interactive English as a Second Language textbook series. Once downloaded, these textbooks do not require a Wi-Fi connection. Students and teachers can use them anywhere, anytime. Used in over 40 schools, universities, and NGOs worldwide. Study It is the future of English teaching. Visit www.studyitbooks.com for more information.
It's time for James's Idiom of the Week.
I was on the TED Talks blog this week when I stumbled upon a very interesting topic. 40 brilliant idioms that simply can't be translated literally. It is a good read, and I have posted it on our website, thejamesriceshow.com, www.thejamesriceshow.com. So you can actually read the whole blog article. Now, to read from the blog, they write, as our open translation project, volunteers translate TED Talks into 105 languages. And they're often challenged to translate English idioms into their own language, which made us wonder, what are their favorite idioms in their own tongue? And they came up with 40 idioms. Now, these are very fun, and I will go over a few of these idioms. But for teachers listening, I strongly recommend asking students for idioms in their own language as a kind of warm-up to your class. If you can get them to make a presentation to the other students, that is even better. You could have an idiom of the week from each student's country. That's cool. And this will help students understand how important idioms are in English and why context is important. So, as promised, here are a few of the brilliant idioms that caught my eye. From Germany, the translation is, I only understand the train station. That's the idiom. Which means, you know, I don't understand a thing about what that person's saying. So I don't know what you're talking about. And in German they say, I only understand the train station. From France, the carrots are cooked. The carrots are cooked. All right. And this means, you know what? The situation can't be changed. All right. It's kind of like our idiom, which is, you know, no use of crying over spilt milk. You know, what has happened, and there's nothing we can do about it. All right. From Portugal, to push something with your belly. To push something with your belly. Now, if you guys know me, I have a big belly, so that's why I like this one. To push something with your belly. And that means to keep postponing an important chore. So delaying, I don't want to do it. So you push something with your belly. That's the idiom from Portugal. That can't be translated. There's nothing to translate that into English, eh? That's really funny. From Sweden. There's no cow on the ice. That's the idiom. I'm not making these up. There's no cow on the ice. And that means, you know what? You know, don't worry. Don't worry about it. It's okay. There's no cow on the ice. It's all good. I like that one. I do like that one. Now, this one's my favorite. This one's my favorite from Thailand. All right. You ready? The hen sees the snake's feet, and the snake sees the hen's boobs. One more time. The hen sees the snake's feet, and the snake sees the hen's boobs. Yes. And that means two people know each other's secrets. The hen and the snake. Yeah, the hen and the snake know each other's secrets. That's a good one. So, don't push studying English with your belly, because the carrots are cooked, but I only understand the train station. Hey, there's no cow on the ice. And that is the idiom of the week.
Don't forget to follow James on Instagram at @ConnectWithJames for fun photos and updates on future episodes. Now it's time for Teacher Talk, James's thoughts and insights into teaching international students.
Now, if you're a regular listener to the James Rice Show, you know that I love movies, I love film, and because of that passion, I love to bring it into the classroom. And so I love having students using movies and using film, or making movies, making short little films as part of my class. That's just my bias. Okay, that's what I love to do. So the most common way that I see movies being used in the classroom is having the entire class
sit and watch a video, then discuss about it. Or there's maybe a written activity after watching the video. But, you know, what else can we do? What else can we do as teachers? I mean, I love video, and I highly, highly recommend that all schools get a green screen. And you can get a setup, a green screen setup, for less than $200. And because many phones and tablets have these built-in movie editing programs, such as iMovie in the iPad or on the iPhone, there's actually green screen stuff that you can use. There's little parts of the of that application that allow you to insert the green screen. There's also an amazing app for green screen, and it's called DoInk, D-O-I-N-K. And it just brings your green screen projects to life. And maybe I'll have to talk about that a little bit later, how to use the green screen, maybe in another episode. But today, I just want to talk a little bit about using video in the ESL classroom. Now, if you are looking, one of the issues is sometimes finding movie clips. Like, where am I going to find short clips to use? And of course, YouTube is possible. That's always a good resource. But here are some other websites where you could find some clips of conversations that's happening from videos. So one is called film-english.com. It's kind of a cool site. And real-english.com. So those websites have some clips that you can use, but you can also use from your own favorite movies. I love to use clips from movies that I enjoy, because as a teacher, that's a great way for my passion to come across to the students. Now, I want to give you some ideas that I've used in the classroom with video and film. So maybe you guys can try it with your class. First one, it's called Back to the Screen. So you pick a short clip from a movie and then divide the class into pairs, with one group facing the TV and the other with their back to it. Now, you can really do this well with iPads and iPhones and YouTube clips, even, or clips from one of these websites, so that everyone has a different clip to watch rather than having everyone watch the clip. And in the old days, we used to have everyone watch the same clip because we only had one TV. But now you have your own phones and iPads that the students bring in, and you can actually use them in the class. You know, but I digress. That's a whole other issue. You know how much I hate it when they ban those devices from the classroom. So if you have every student has their own iPad or their iPhone watching their own clips, that's really cool. So you have the clip and you turn off the sound. All right. So the sound is off and you play the movie. So the person who can see the screen tells the other person what is happening. Then after a minute or a few minutes, you know, you switch places and the other student continues what is happening. And then at the end of that, everyone watches the clip, you know, together, and they share and discuss. So that's kind of a fun way that you can use the film in the class. And the kind of, you can also develop this as like imagining what the dialogue they might be saying, you know, what the people are talking about in the scene. And they have to share that with their partner, which is kind of fun. Another activity I like to call is Act It Out. Act It Out. And I love this for pronunciation class. So in the past, I found a script for a scene from a movie, a short scene, can be a couple of minutes. And I get the students to act it out first. All right. So they just have the script on the page and they act it out. And it's, you know, it's their acting is and their reading is just based on the script. And hopefully they've never seen the film. So try to find films, you know, a little bit in the past that maybe aren't so popular. And then we watch the scene. so they see how the actors do it. Then the students must act it out, not necessarily physically acting, but with their voice. So they have to practice the same pronunciation and the same intonation as the characters. And then we can discuss that tonal aspect, what's different. And it's really a great way to work on pronunciation, but it helps them to understand intonation, rhythm, and blending, okay, those words. And they can see it naturally, how it's used. And they can compare. And even if you can video them before when they're reading the script and then video them after, they could actually see the difference. And if they don't want to be on video, you could just have them record it on their phone as well. They don't have to always be on camera if they're a bit shy. So a couple of favorite speeches I like that are on YouTube. One is, you know, the one from Jack Nicholson. That one just popped into my head. A Few Good Men. That's a great one. That's just a solo one. But Jack Black's speech from School of Rock is also good. Patch Adams is good. Anything from When Harry Met Sally. I mean, that's a great male-female kind of discussion. And so trying to find some of those movies that are a little bit older, you know, a little bit maybe not as familiar to the students is great. Another one that is, this one's from One Stop English, which it's a good little website. They call it Video Dictogloss, and I've attached this lesson plan to the website, www.thejamesriceshow, because it is quite interesting. I do like it. And the students in this exercise, so students watch the scene a few times, and they write down kind of the main words and the phrases that each character says, or a specific character says. And you could have each group given one character, and they have to listen to kind of that character. So it works best if there are kind of two characters in the scene. And working with someone from a different group, they then write the script for the scene, incorporating both characters. And as they will not have managed to write down the whole script from the listening exercise, they'll have to use their imagination to try to kind of fill in the gaps. So this is a great exercise to kind of work on grammar. And the one-stop English lesson is based on a film called As Good As It Gets. So it's good. It's a good lesson plan. It's good for higher levels. It kind of shakes things up a bit. It gives them something a little different to do. And it's a good practice with food vocabulary. So there's a lot of kind of restaurant vocabulary in there that's kind of interesting. So check that out on the website. On this episode, which is episode 41, you'll be able to find that lesson plan on www.thejamesriceshow.com. Now, another amazing exercise that you can use film and video for is, you know what, just create your own reality show. Yes, I have done this. I have created a reality show, and it is a great project over, you know, a semester where you have the students for several months or several weeks for them to work on creating, writing, acting, directing their own reality show. Yeah. Now, be warned, it is time consuming in the class. It does take a lot of time, but it is really incredibly rewarding. And we were doing it, we did three episodes. We did three episodes over 8 weeks, and the entire school couldn't wait for more, but it was exhausting, I can tell you. It was really tough. But we did three episodes, and they were 40, I think they were 40 minutes, 30, 40 minutes. They were long episodes. I'm going to try to dig them up and post them on the website under this same episode 41. And the quality was good. I mean, the quality was pretty good, I got to say. And I think we may have gotten into it too much as a class because we were focused a lot on the quality more than, you know, the content and everything. But we were really focused on the quality. So it was a lot of work. But if you have time to do to do that. It was one of the best things that I've ever done in a class was creating this reality show. And we had different people. We had actors, of course. We had directors. We had people who worked on music and sound effects. And they got into location shooting. So they went out on the street and did location shots in movie theaters, in restaurants. It was really something. It was really something. So now, if you don't have time to do a whole reality show over several weeks, you could try getting the students to do a movie trailer explaining the reality show. And we've done this as well in my classes where, you get the students to create a reality show and they explain it to the class, but then they need to put that reality show as an advertisement into a 30-second or 60-second commercial. And it's very, very tough. And it challenges students to be concise with their language. Yeah, very tricky. So, and there's some great sites out there that help students to create movie trailers. And if you're familiar with iMovie, they have a whole trailer section where it can look pretty professional, but they need to be concise with their language. So doing a movie trailer is a great, great exercise. And it's not as daunting as doing an entire reality show for students. So there you have it. A few good ideas here from the James Rice Show to bring in video or to use video in your classroom.
Have you downloaded the Study It ESL textbooks yet for your classroom? The Study It textbooks are the first ever digital and interactive textbooks. Once downloaded, Wi-Fi is no longer required. Each book contains video and audio exercises, detailed grammar keynotes, reading and writing assignments, and amazing speaking projects. Grammar, conversation, pronunciation, business English, and listening textbooks are available. Visit www.studyitbooks.com for more information.
All right, welcome to this week's Did You Know segment, where we try to answer the question, why is English so crazy? Why is there no egg in eggplant? Why is there no pine nor apple in pineapple? Yes, English is crazy. So this week we are going to take a look at the expression, give the cold shoulder. Oh my gosh, he is giving you the cold shoulder. That means he is ignoring you. Okay, he's pretending you're not there. He sees you, but he doesn't want to talk to you. Yeah, so giving the cold shoulder. So that's the idiom. Now, where the heck did this expression come from? All right, well, here this idiom, give the cold shoulder, came from a way that food was served to a guest that nobody liked in medieval England. All right. Now, medieval England. Stephanie, our producer there, when is medieval England? Is that like 1500s? It's like, whoa, Stephanie's saying it's like the 600s, 700s. Really? That's like 1000. Okay. It's like year 1000. Okay. So that's medieval England. So, you know, like 1000 years ago, if they didn't like you, okay, then they would serve you food this way. So, usually in medieval England, they would serve you a hot meal, you know, something that was fresh, right out of the oven, cooked immediately and given to you hot. And so, you know, that was a way of showing that, hey, they liked you and they wanted to serve you. Because I guess back then it was hard to get food that was hot. So if they gave you food that was cold and, you know, maybe it wasn't so delicious, that was a signal that, hey, they don't like you. They want you to leave. Get out of my house. And I'm sure you've had guests that, you know, have stayed with you and you like, okay, it's like midnight. We want to go to bed. Can you please leave? All right. And in medieval times, they would just give them a, you know, like a cold steak. Here's a steak, but not really cooked.
And that is how give the cold shoulder became the expression that it is in today's world. And now you know.
Have you subscribed to James's newsletter? When you subscribe, you will receive a free Study It ESL textbook. Visit www.thejamesriceshow.com for more information and join today.
All right, welcome back to The James Rice Show here from Toronto, Canada. And I hope you enjoyed a couple of those segments. And I wanted to talk with students and teachers about using video a little bit more. I've talked a lot about some activities that teachers can use and some websites that students can use, but there's still a lot more that we can do with video and film in the classroom. So one of the things that I would love to see teachers use is some of the apps that are out there. Powtoon, P-O-W-T-O-O-N, is awesome. It allows you to make an animated film. And Explain Everything is also fantastic. It's a great film kind of tool for students to use. These two apps, just taking a look at these two apps, the stuff that you could do. And students, you might be thinking, oh, James is talking about what teachers can do. And no. Students, you could do this too. So I have a couple of scenarios, a couple of situations that I want to speak to you guys about. One is, let's imagine, students, you are in a class where, you know, you're not enjoying it. Maybe your teacher is not great. You're not happy. There's stuff that you're doing that you don't like to do. And how can you take that negative and turn it into a positive situation? And I'm thinking, you know, about high school, university, college, where you don't have a chance. Maybe in a language school, you could complain about the teacher, but you don't have a chance to change your teacher. You're not going to change your teacher all the time, students, throughout your lives, okay? So how do you take that negative and turn it into a positive? Let's imagine they give you an assignment. Okay, you must do assignment X, Y, and Z. Okay, you must do a presentation on how to use the present perfect tense. How could you do that? That's not just a keynote or a PowerPoint. All right, and how could you make that better and learn better? And you could download Powtoon or Explain Everything, and you could create something using that app. What that allows you to do, students, is it does a couple of things. One, you get to learn the app, okay? The app, these two apps are fantastic. They're fantastic for business. They're fantastic for life. So you get to learn the app, number one. Number two, you get to show the students the app in use, and you get their reaction. And that's one of the really cool parts of using these apps, is that you can see the reaction of using this education technology in the classroom as a presentation tool. And you might be able to use it for business or for something else in the future. And you can judge how people react to what you're doing. And you'll want to change it. You'll want to change it because it will not be perfect, okay? And the third thing you're going to do when you're doing a project like this is you're going to show the teacher. And you're going to say, hey, teacher, look, there's a better way to do projects and assignments and presentations. And maybe, hopefully, fingers crossed, good luck, I hope, you will change that teacher's mind, okay? You will change that teacher's thinking to wanting to try maybe an app or two in the classroom. Now, for teachers, you flip it around, all right? You're a teacher, you're seeing students come up, you're giving them an assignment, you want them to experiment and be unique, but they're just giving you the same stuff, you know? They're giving you the same stuff over and over again. And you know, how can you change that up? How can you change that student's mind to make them understand that there are a billion apps out there and you can be productive with your iPhone and your iPad, not just for social media and not just for texting. There's a lot, or gaming. There's a lot of stuff that you can do with them. So you can get them to say, all right, I'm going to teach you how to use this app Powtoon, or I'm going to teach you how to use this app, Explain Everything. And you're going to do a book report using Powtoon or Explain Everything. Or you're going to create a short documentary. Or you're going to create the lesson on how to use present perfect tense. So you can inspire the students that way. And even if you don't know how to use the app, which a lot of teachers tell me, I don't want to use the app because I have to learn how to use it. But you know what? Students could teach you. All right? Students can teach you how to use the app. You could assign the app as homework, but while they're bringing it into class, while they're presenting, you get to see how amazing it can be. And then you save those videos or you save that content and you can show it to your next class in the future. And that's an amazing thing. And for me, I'm a big fan of Kahoot. I use Kahoot all the time, love Kahoot. But students, when I ask students to create a Kahoot for me, they come up with some really cool ideas for Kahoot. And it makes my Kahoot better the next time. Because I say, hey, how did you do that with Kahoot? I didn't know you could do that with Kahoot. And they show me. All right. So this type of, kind of a way for us to learn together is amazing. It's an amazing environment for schools and for students. So there's a lot to it. And, there's a lot to it for students and there's a lot to it for teachers. So I hope you guys will all consider those possibilities. All right. So we're coming to the end of the James Rice Show for this week. And I'd like to, as always, thank everyone for their continued support. And we'll be back at you next week. And remember, be crazy.
Thanks for listening to The James Rice Show. Don't forget to subscribe to our newsletter and send us your questions or comments at www.thejamesriceshow.com.